I was on parole. Can't smoke marijuana on parole.
When you first do it, you get a really bad high.
You see that guy over there sleeping? He's on K2.
I was not breathing. I turned blue. They put a tube in my throat so I could breathe.
For $5 a pack, you get 4 grams.
After you do it the first time, the second and third time, it's easier.
I feel like lightheaded. You feel high. I feel like your is off balance.
K2, you feel like you're going to have a heart attack, or you're vomiting, or you're passing out.
If marijuana wasn't so expensive, I would smoke marijuana.
You're in a different block wandering, and you're lost, and you're coming out of your high going, where am I?
I gotta stop smoking this. You know? I gotta get myself together. I gotta get some help some way.
K2. It's a street drug often imported from China. Commonly called synthetic marijuana, K2 has been circulating in the U.S. for years. But in recent months, we've seen mass overdoses on the drug, sending dozens of people to emergency rooms in New Haven, Connecticut, and in Brooklyn, New York. Eric Wish is the director of the Center for Substance Abuse Research at the University of Maryland, and he's been studying K2 use among overdose patients in Baltimore hospitals. A new report on his findings was released last week. Eric, thanks for joining me.
Cindy, thank you for inviting me, and I think it's really important that we inform the public about what's going on with these drugs on the street.
So let's start then at the very beginning. Can you tell us what synthetic marijuana or synthetic cannabinoids is, and how is it related to actual marijuana?
You know, that's a great question. And we scientists won't even use the term synthetic marijuana, and we use synthetic cannabinoids because it's designed to chemically act like marijuana, but it keeps changing. And as the drugs, new drugs come out and they're made illegal by the government, someone in China tweaks the molecule so it's new and now legal. So basically, the media talks about spice or K2 like it's a unitary phenomenon, and it isn't. Basically, you've got a new chemical, never looked at or tested on human beings. There's no FDA trials. And basically, it's out on the street, and people are the guinea pigs, and they don't know what they're taking. So it's really a completely changing process, and it's very difficult. Someone buys it, they think it's like marijuana, and they don't know what they're taking, and people end up in the emergency department.
And so just to clarify, the reason that it even got the name of synthetic marijuana was because, correct me if I'm wrong, it sort of tickles the same neurons that THC does?
Yeah, tetrahydrocannabinol receptors in the brain. So it was designed to affect them, to stimulate them. But in fact, as it keeps changing, it gets further and further away from marijuana. So if you were to ask me, what does K2 do to a person? That's an impossible thing to answer because you don't know without some specific testing what specific chemical the person took.
Okay, and so you did this testing on these patients in Baltimore. So you were testing urine samples, is that correct?
Right. There was an outbreak of synthetic cannabinoids in the Baltimore and in Maryland in the area. So we were working with some physicians, some emergency department physicians, and we asked them to recruit patients who came in with a supposed synthetic cannabinoid overdose. And what we found when we got the urines, de-identified urines, and we sent them to our lab and tested them for 250 substances and a lot of, originally, 26 metabolites of synthetic cannabinoids. And it was, we were amazed that only one specimen tested positive for synthetic cannabinoids. We waited for a year for our laboratory to expand the metabolites they tested for to 46. We retested them and found between 20 and 23% tested positive for synthetic cannabinoids. So neither the doctors or the people who came in, the patients, knew exactly what they took. And what was really incredible is that they tested positive in Baltimore for the opioids, for like fentanyl and other opioids. And in Prince George's County, they tested positive for PCP, which is a hallucinogen. So the point is that people were coming in and were being misdiagnosed and they were well treated, but we couldn't characterize what the actual problem was until we got the tests.
Right. So the emergency room doctor has trouble treating these patients because they don't actually know what their symptoms are coming from.
Well, they actually do a very good job. No one died in our study, and the ED physicians say that they were able to treat the symptoms. However, for instance, a lot of people buy a drug on the street and they think it's X and it turns out to be Y. If, for instance, the ED physicians merely did a quick fentanyl dipstick test, they could then tell the patient when they were releasing them, you know, you took fentanyl. And a lot of patients are going to say, I never knew I took fentanyl. And therefore, you can protect the patient from going out and buying drugs from the same source and maybe get sick again because they're given fentanyl.
Okay, so did you actually interview any of these patients? Because I'm wondering if they're able to describe what this high is like, why they're attracted to this drug.
There are other studies that do that, but no, we did not do that for this study. But we do know there's two main things that you mentioned in the beginning of the program. One is if someone is undergoing routine supervised testing, drug testing, they will turn to synthetic cannabinoids because they know that the normal test panel doesn't test for them, so they can squeak by. The other reason is that if the drugs, they're cheaper. So I was talking to someone in Denver about this, and I said, gee, there must not be much synthetic cannabinoid use. And they said, no, there's more. Because when you make marijuana legal and you include taxes and the profit motive, it's too expensive. So people are still going to the synthetic cannabinoids. We also find it a lot among homeless people.
So is this just a cat and mouse game? Each time the feds make something illegal, the illicit drug industry changes up the composition to something else?
That's exactly true. It's like a game of whack-a-mole. You find one, you identify it, you start testing for it, and a new one, and you make it illegal, and a new one pops up.
And so how dangerous does this make synthetic cannabinoids?
It's Russian roulette.
Thank you very much, Eric, for joining us.
Thank you.
Eric Wish is the director of the Center for Substance Abuse Research at the University of Maryland.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Babbel, a language app that teaches real-life conversations in a new language, like Spanish, French, or German. Babbel's 10 to 15-minute lessons are available in the App Store or online at Babbel, Babbel.com.
By Progressive Insurance, offering Snapshot, a device designed to reward safe drivers. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Now that's Progressive.
And by Fracture, creating modern photo decor by printing their customers' photos directly on glass. A Fracture is image, frame, and mount all in one, available in a selection of square and rectangle sizes. Learn more at fracturemead.com/takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.